Thank you, Jeff. I was worried. I said, well, what if he doesn't introduce me? What if people think I'm Jeff? And, you know, it might be a while before people would realize I don't think that's Jeff. He sounds different. I don't have much voice today, but I am not worried because unction, an old word meaning what the Spirit does, will be sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient this morning. May he move in our midst for his own glory and our good. We are looking at a passage, actually, that Dave was going to look at before me. So he said, hey, Rod, would you come out and speak? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. I can come home and hang out with my church. And I picked a passage. And Dave said, well, let me know what you're going to speak on. So I said, sure. So I said, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 38. And then Dave said, I was going to cover this same passage the week before you came. So he said, I'll let you cover it. But I want to assure you, no matter what you think about there being an agenda, the Spirit of the Lord is at work in your pastor and in the people that he brings here wanting to bring you a message. Amen? That's what's going on. We think about the leading of Jesus. As we look at him in the Bible, he's leading the disciples, and he's doing some really strange things. Nobody goes through Samaria. Everybody goes around Samaria. He not only goes into Samaria, but he's having a conversation with this woman that was so striking. The disciples figured because he hadn't eaten, he's falling apart. He's unraveling. Jesus is so uncanny in his dealings. His leading is so outside of what we are expecting that it unsettled people as he sat around having a dinner with tax collectors and sinners and all the people that you would not hang around with. Jesus is still leading, Todd. Jesus is not dead. He is resurrected. He is living. And in order to remove the limitation of him being in one place at one time, he has poured out his Holy Spirit. The Spirit that was leading Jesus to do all those uncanny things is at work in you. There's a little problem, though. There's a little problem. We say, I surrender all. We surrender insofar as Jesus stays, Gail, with my program. As long as you stay with my program, Jesus. As long as you stay with my process. As long as you send me missionally to a perimeter that I want to go to. You send me to people that I would like to hang around. If you want me to be a missionary to the Santerra Golf Club, I mean, that's what I got to do. There's a problem with that, though. If the leading of Jesus is always into what I'm liking, I think you need to question that leading. I don't know what you imagine you look like, but if we go to this slide, challenges in following Jesus, the leading of Jesus is uncanny. And every now and then, Jesus beckons me to do something that I wouldn't do. And you know that look, like, Jesus, why would I do that? Right? I know in your biblical imagination, you don't look like Kevin Hart, but I'm kind of short. I'm a black guy. I think I look kind of like Kevin Hart. Why would you ask me to do that, Jesus? We have Jesus effectively tied up. We have a gag over his mouth and we pull it down for him to say what we want him to say, to lead us where we want to go. And what we have is a leading that is according to our liking. What Jesus does, though, is he gives us an indicator of where he's going. Let's back out one slide and we're going to look at a glimpse that he gave one of the apostles, a glimpse of what lies ahead. This is out of the book of Revelation. This is what it says. After these things, I looked, and behold. And every time you see that behold, it is a summons, it is a notification to the reader that what is about to be said has impact for you today. He says, and look at this, reader, a great multitude which no one could number. Of how many nations? How many? All nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Jesus says, this is where I'm going, where there is not legislation causing you to be able to go to school together or to go to jail together or serve in the military together. What I am doing is I am bringing my family together. Every nation, every tongue, every people. And they don't have a problem with it. It is integrated not as the result of some edict or mandate from government. It is integrated because there has been a washing and a regeneration and a renewing of the heart such that I am glad to be there with Jeff. Jeff is glad to be there with me. Amen. He said, this is where I'm going. Now, in the meantime, Jesus is saying, I'm leading you to do some things. And why would you ask me to do that, Jesus? Keep in mind where we're going. Is that making sense? Now, I got to let you know that I am a black preacher. And as a part of black preacher etiquette, if you want me to go on to the next point, you need to say amen. So where you think I'm long-winded and I'm trying to wrap up, if I don't think you got it, I'm just going to camp out there because I'm going to preach and teach this word. Amen? Amen? So moving out from this slide, let's look at a passage in Acts. It'll be the, he's already there. Previously in Acts, we're going to go to the upper right-hand slide if you're following along. Acts chapter 8, 4 through 8. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Stephen has died. The Jesus follower, Stephen, has died for Jesus following. It was his Jesus following that was an unbearable light to those who like darkness. And as a result of that, you have what seems like a setback. And that everybody's scattered. We had this good thing going on in Jerusalem. We're all here. We've got this great teaching of the apostles. And now persecution breaks out against the church. Everybody's scattered. But what looked like a setback is actually a setup to spring forward. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Why? Because they are witnesses. When you receive Jesus, witnessing is not an activity, it's an identity. It's a part of who we are, Ken. It's not something I do. It is an expression of who I am. And so everywhere they went, they were doing it in Jerusalem, but now they're somewhere else. But it's not a function of location. They just keep on witnessing. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip is an evangelist. And he does what evangelists do. He evangelizes. And he gets there, and he doesn't preach against their politics, and he doesn't preach against the music they're listening to. Sometimes we conflate things with the gospel, and we adulterate it. I believe that your life would be so much better if you did all these other things. Just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. He just preached Jesus to them. And because he's preaching Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who is wanting to glorify Jesus, gave accompanying signs to confirm, to validate what he was saying. The people heeded it. They received Jesus. They received Jesus. So great stuff is going on. And while this is going on, now if we go back a slide. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. This great evangelist doing this great work of evangelism. He says, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. That would have been about a 70-mile trek to a place, Rich. There are no Valeros. There's no Walmart. You cannot get a pumpkin spice latte. I'm serious. There's no Panera Bread. It is an empty, abandoned stretch. There's nothing going on there. And that is Jesus leading him in a way that, man, that don't make no sense. Why would I do that, Amber? Why would Jesus tell me to go down to this empty stretch? I want to show you what it looked like. We're going to bring that up on the screen. This is the middle of nowhere. See, in that little corner down there, you've got this little stretch as you're going down from Jerusalem, you're going to Gaza, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go down that little stretch of road. Why would I go there? I'm an evangelist. I go to where there's people. There are no apartment complexes. There are no neighborhoods. But listen, Jesus is leading me, Ken, where I don't go. He's leading me where I don't go. He's not leading me according to my preference, Beverly. Bob, he's not leading me according to the places I would like to be in. He's leading me where I don't normally go. And the angel of the Lord says, you get up, and I want you to go down to this little abandoned stretch of road. So what does he do? So, therefore, consequently, hence, he arose and went. And, see it there? Behold. He says, look, reader, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his prophet, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And you're thinking, okay, guy from Ethiopia, big deal. It is kind of a big deal. But without reading more scripture, I don't realize why this is such a big deal. In fact, it's such a big deal, the writer says, pay attention, reader, because of what is about to happen. Pay attention. Stop being distracted. Turn your cell phone off. Stop texting. Have a real devotional with God where he has your undivided attention. Look at this, reader. A man of Ethiopia. Okay, a man of Ethiopia. Well, let's get a little background. Background on race relations. So there was this guy named Moses. And Moses, go ahead and click that slide again. Moses is being criticized. Then Miriam and Aaron, that would be the sister and brother of Moses, spoke against Moses because, here's the reason, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. What's the big deal? Ethiopian is synonymous with saying black. He had the gall. He had the audacity. For this pride, for this very proud race, to bring someone who was not Jew, who was not Hebrew, into their family. Now, their criticism doesn't line up with the underlying reason. Verse 2, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? If you listen to the criticism, you would think they're upset with Moses because he is hoarding leadership. He is the only person speaking. He is the only person making a decision. That was the outward claim, but it is the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And he knew, you are not criticizing him because he is hoarding leadership where he's trying to control everything. In fact, in the next verse, verse 3, it says, here's the truth about Moses. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And I know what that means because right now I am the most humble man alive. That is, what? I'm just saying it's difficult. It's difficult. contrary to what they're saying, contrary to the allegation about Moses hoarding leadership, trying to control everything, contrary to that, in character, in reality, the truth was he is actually the most humble person in all the land. The real reason is that he married a black woman. That's why. His popularity, his prestige, his numbers in the polls have plummeted. Why are we looking at that? Trying to give you some background, some insight into what it means to see the Ethiopian. Now let's go back to our passage. Verse 27, so he arose and went, and behold, you get it now? A man of Ethiopia, think about their history. Think about Moses. Think about how scandalous, how problematic it was for Miriam and for Aaron to look up. Look who's coming to dinner. Whoa. She's tall. Yeah, because Ethiopians were tall. Yeah, that's not what I was going to get at. It was, she's got a lot of hair. No, she's black. I don't want to cast an aspersion on Philip, but I also don't want to look past the culture. So there's this man of Ethiopia. He's a eunuch. Does anybody not know what a eunuch is? It's okay if you don't know. Anybody raise your hand? Like, I don't know what a eunuch is. Anybody? Everybody knows what a eunuch is? Yeah. Scratching your head. Well, I mean, so you're an authority. You're a monarch. You need an assistant, but you don't want to look 10 years down the road and see that most of your kids look like your assistant. There's a way of preventing that. I'm just saying, you got to want that job. You got to want that job. So he's a eunuch. This man is riding in this chariot, and he's reading Isaiah. And there is Philip standing out there. Let's go to the next slide. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. In my biblical imagination, Clay, he's wondering why I'm out of here. There's nothing out here. I don't even know why I'm out here. This doesn't make any sense. I'm out here and all I see is some black guy riding behind a chariot. And then the Holy Spirit says, hey, Phil, yeah, catch up with the chariot, man. I want you to catch up with the chariot. I want you to catch up with the person you overlooked. Okay. And to his credit, so Philip ran to him. I would encourage you, if you are following Jesus, to stay in shape. I mean, you never know when a black guy will be driving by in a car and he might say, Jeff, catch up with that car. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. It would be like walking in the Starbucks saying, man, Lord, I know you want me to be here in the Starbucks. I don't know why I'm here. And then there's somebody sitting there in Starbucks, and they say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only. Would somebody please explain this to me? You're like, this doesn't happen. You're like, but he's not reading out of John. Well, he can't read out of John because it hadn't been written yet. But with regard to Old Testament passages, that's what they have. With regard to Old Testament passages that clearly describe the grace of God and the redeeming work of God through a humble servant, this passage is the zenith. It's the apex. It is the clearest that you've got, saying that God is going to deal once and for all with the sins of many through his suffering servant. Philip hears him, and then he starts doing what evangelists do. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He starts into the conversation, and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? It's not a given that because he could read as he was reading out loud that he understood it, and he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Let's go to that next slide. This is what he's actually reading. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his justice was taken. His justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth, or he was cut off. That's what he was reading. He's reading about the ministry of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. And he didn't revile in return. And he submitted to the Father in order that we could be washed, in order that we could be clean. God is not just leading me to people that I don't know. He's not just leading me into places that I don't go, but in the leading of Jesus, he has gone before. It's called provenience. You're afraid to go. I know that's really bad, but it had to rhyme. Work with me. You're afraid to go and have that conversation, but Jesus has already gone before you to prepare for the conversation. The Holy Spirit is concurrently, simultaneously at work in this Ethiopian when he's still in Jerusalem, when he contacts Philip. Sometimes we want to obey in so far as we can understand. God is not obligated to explain it to me, though. What he wants in me is immediate obedience. I need you to go to this empty stretch where nothing is going on. And he gets down there, and he still doesn't know why he's there. There's just some rich Ethiopian guy, some rich black guy driving by in his chariot, huge rims. I'm just saying, because it was a chariot. What's going on? And the Holy Spirit had to let him know, that is your reason for being here. He is your reason for traveling 70 miles. I've been thinking about him. I love him. And God had already gone before, and he's reading this passage. He's trying to figure it out. So he's reading this passage, and what does Philip do? See, if you read the Acts chapter 8, Philip's going to do what Philip does. This guy has this question. Let's go to this next slide. It's like, man, what does this mean? I'm wondering what's going on. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Verse 35. Then this is what Philip did. He did this once before. Remember, he went into Samaria? That one made a little more sense. I remember Jesus actually did this before. This one was a little outlandish for him. It was a little more difficult. But once it became clear, this is why you're here. I want you to do what I've equipped you in the Holy Spirit to do. He didn't need any more prompting. He preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. And where did he start? He started where the man was. He took this passage and he started working with this passage. And what God is wanting is for us to develop such a good handling of Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're able to give an answer for the faith that is in us and take a passage that may seem like it's obscure. But Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. These are they, these scriptures, even these little obscure passages where you take the fatty lobe off the kidney and you're like, what in the world is that about? It's about Jesus. This is a fairly easy segue. I think some passages might be a little harder. But he started here and he is just preaching Jesus to him. Let's go to that next slide. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. God has been sovereignly at work. The grace of God has been at work, causing this man to be ready for this conversation, causing this man to be ready to receive the gospel. And now he's received the gospel, kind of like Cornelius and his household. They didn't bow their heads and pray to receive Jesus. Not in that passage. And Jesus began to pour out the Holy Spirit. This man is already believing. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And he had to ask because he's a eunuch and he is so used to hearing, you can't be a part of this. Let's click on the word eunuch. If we're looking at the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 23:1, he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. He wanted to know more about God. He wanted to have a better understanding of this, what do you call him, Yahweh. And there's a lot he could not participate in. There's another passage in Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron saying, no man of your descendants in any succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach, a man blind or lame, who has a marred face or any limb too long, a man who has a broken foot or broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, a man who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scab or is a eunuch. This is what he's used to hearing. And he hears about this marvelous grace of God, that I can be forgiven of my sin, that I can have the favor of God upon me, that I can actually be a part of the commonwealth. I can be a part of the family of God. But Ken, I don't know, it kind of has a big question mark over it, because every time I hear about something great, you can't participate in this. That's just my history. I think he loves Judaism from the outside, and he loves the idea that God is bringing a Savior, but he's wondering, is this just one more of those things that I can't actually participate in? Let's go back our slide. Verse 37 is not in the oldest of texts. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. He didn't get baptized to be saved. He got baptized because he was. His baptism did not affect his salvation. His salvation caused his baptism. Amen? And God is wanting to bring about a diversity in his people. He is wanting to create a curiosity among us when they ask, what is going on with so many black people and white people and Asian people and Hispanic people hanging out in that church? Did they release some kind of legislation that made them sit together? What's going on? It is the Spirit of God moving. And he gives you a glimpse of the glory that lies ahead when all the nations and all the peoples and all the tongues will be together. In the meantime, what Jesus is doing, he's leading you where you don't go, to people that you don't know. And the comforting thing is that he's gone before me, preparing the way. Amen? In the power of the Holy Spirit, let us bring the gospel. Let us follow the leading of Jesus. I was walking through the airport years ago. As I went through to get some coffee, the lady says to me, and she's clearly Ethiopian. She says, are you Ethiopian? Nope. Not Ethiopian. Later on, as I'm taking my rental car to get it gas back up, I go through a gas station and they say, the guy says, are you Ethiopian? I'm like, no, I'm not Ethiopian. I grew up without my dad, but I talked with him a few times. And one day when I'm talking with him on the phone, he says, your great-grandmother was an Israeli Jew. Your great-grandfather was an Ethiopian Jew. I couldn't see it in me, but they could. And as I look at my time here, as I look at my time at Northwest, when many had written me off, when I wondered, is this just one more thing that I really can't be a part of? The grace of God was extended to me, and I was allowed to preach again. I read this passage, and I say, I am this man. how many more out there, Asian, Black, Hispanic, Pakistani, are out there. And the God of the universe, Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord, has gone before, and you're afraid to have the conversation. Lord God, thank you for this time together. My prayer is that we would repent of our reluctance, our refusal to be led by you. My prayer, dear God, is that you would bring about a diversity that is not affirmative action, it's not a quota, it's the move of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Thank you, O Lord, for the glimpse of the glory that lies ahead. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen.